Every single moment, every time that we have an opportunity to breathe, we have an opportunity to experience life in a way that only God can reveal. The scriptures tell us, I want to talk about something similar and yet different. The word says, for God, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature. So we're talking about something invisible. And we can tend to get upset or concerned when we're experiencing invisible, which means what? We can't see it. And what is it you can't see is a better question. What is it you can't see? I can't see what I thought you said or what you did say, or I can't see what I thought you meant when you said what you said, or I can't see what I asked for, or I can't see what I want, or I can't see what I'm believing for. We could probably spend the rest of the service talking about what we can't see. But God has done something from the beginning of creation, from the very moment that he formed everything that we experience now. What God did was take who he is, and the scriptures tell us in various different ways, he's called the invisible God. The invisible God. In other words, you can't see him. So God did something really, really incredible. He gave heaven earth. God gifted heaven with earth. Earth is a gift to heaven. So much so, the word says that even the heavenly beings look to see what God is doing in the gift that he has given to heaven. I'll just go ahead and say, heaven is a gift, but earth is a gift to heaven. Heaven is a gift, but earth is a gift to heaven. What if everything is paused because we're looking in the wrong place and not seeing what is most evident? Now, the word says, again, it says that for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived even since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So we are without excuse. So the word also tells us that the kingdom that we're looking for, the kingdom of God, presides on the inside. And we've been all over that for a long time. But God says, the scriptures tell us that God created everything that we see out of the invisible. Everything that was created out of the invisible, which tells us, how many know God is real? God exists, God is present, God is power, he's everything, but he is called the invisible God. So within that invisible nature, God does something called prophecy. He speaks his word. And when God speaks his word, something is created. And the first thing that's created is a perception of what God is saying he wants to make visible. And visible has a variety of different attributes or aspects. There are a lot of invisible attributes right here in this room. There are a lot of things that are invisible. They're here, but you can't see them. I mean, simple as a particle of dust, unless it hits the right light or the right light hits it. There are many things that exist around you, on your hands, in the spirit, that are invisible, which simply means that you can't see them through the perspective that you want to see them through. But they're here nonetheless. God's doing something so new that it's going to take a prophetic generation. People that know what God's voice sounds like and what God looks like. Individuals that know what the kingdom of God looks like, what its appearance is. So God said this. God said, I'm invisible and I want to make myself visible. So I'm going to create by the word of faith everything through the invisible attributes that I am. So God's invisibility is very, very tangible. It's very real, very alive, and it does new things, exciting things, things that only faith can receive, things that only faith can expect. And it's in the interruption of things, it's in the emptiness of things that God works. Our vision, our feeling, our hearing, our senses don't necessarily enjoy those dynamics of God. God works in the great vastness of emptiness or void, or where is it, or when is it coming? But God's after something, and He is after something, because the Word says that He seeks true worshipers. So God's looking for something. He is everything, but He's looking for something, because out of the fullness of who God is, and that's every wonderful and great thing, He created something that could be experienced in a way that He could be experienced through that incredible virtue we call faith. And faith seems to be uncomfortable, but faith has something unique. Faith has something very unusual, something you may not have thought of. Faith has a sound. Your faith has a sound. James says this in James 1, chapter 1, verse 2. He says, consider it or count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you find yourself in a position that you feel, and you need to hear what I'm saying today. Open your head, open your eyes, open your ears. When you find yourself in a position that you cannot see what God said, when you cannot feel God, when you cannot perceive God in any natural sense, something profound is happening, and it's the kingdom. The kingdom looks like something you can't see. The kingdom looks like something you can't perceive. That's why Jesus said, when they tell you the kingdom is over here or the kingdom is over there, He said, don't believe them. He said, they're pointing you in the wrong direction. And we've said this many, many times. I'm going to say it again, and I'll probably say it for the rest of my life. The kingdom of God is within. There's a scripture that says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Earth is the gift to heaven. Earth is God's gift to heaven. Because earth makes the invisible attributes of God through faith visible. It makes them tangible, relatable, relatable. Christ came and did what He did. He gave His life. He laid down His life. He shed His blood. He rose again so we could be relatable to God. So we could perceive something that we couldn't any other way. We can't perceive ourselves to be approachable to God, no matter how good we are, what we do, or how much we pray or fast. There's something in our minds that just says you can't go there. But when we look at the image of who Christ is, Christ makes us relatable to God. He makes us approachable to God. So the Word says, count it all joy, chara, which means a delight. Count it all chara. And the reason the Greek word is so powerful is because it has an ancestry and it has a relationship to a couple of other words that just bring everything together. And that's what God is doing in your lives today through the Word. Just bringing it all together in a way you're not going to be afraid. I'm telling you, by the Word of the Lord, you will not fear the things you used to fear. You're going to forget how to be afraid. The generation is going to forget how to die. You're going to forget how to doubt. Jesus didn't doubt. Regardless of what took place, He didn't doubt. Unless we talk about the true divine nature, the true attributes of who Christ is, we'll never walk in the power of the kingdom. And one generation will pass away to the next, to the next, to the next. God is beyond time. He's outside of the sphere of time and space. He's God Almighty. He is invisible. Look at it like this, God saying, you know what, I really want to be seen. I would like to be experienced by my creation in a way they've never experienced me. So I'm going to give heaven a gift. I'm going to give heaven earth, because earth is going to require that it overcomes itself by believing something that is invisible. Are you with me? So what is invisible can take on that body that I am. It can take on different forms and different shapes of my glory. I'm going to share my glory. So God spoke. Faith has a sound. Faith makes a sound. And God's looking for that sound. Over and over, especially in Psalms 94, 95, the Word says, make a joyful noise, which is the true word, is make a joyful sound unto the Lord. God wants to hear from you. And it's not always in our prayers. I mean, we think about that when we pray. But sometimes when you're most silent, something else is making a sound. When you don't know how to pray, something else is making a sound that God's looking for. He's looking for what we would consider invisible, but to God, it's very, very visible. It's very alive, and it's your faith. Faith has a sound. Faith makes a sound. Donnie, bring me your guitar. The guitar has six strings. The greatest tension is on the low E string. And the string makes a sound, doesn't it? Well, not really. Make a sound. Guitar, strings, make a sound. Play. Play. It's like faith. Faith is very quiet until it's disturbed. But when it's disturbed, it's a disruption that makes a sound, not the string. String can't make a sound. There's no sound coming from this thing. But when it's interrupted, when it's disrupted, I played guitar in a long, long time. You probably couldn't tell. James says, count it all joy when your world of peace is interrupted. See, the way an instrument works is the string is not responsible for the sound. The disruption is. Disruption is what makes the sound. In other words, it says, make a joyful sound unto the Lord. You're not going to do it until your faith is interrupted, until something in your world is interrupted. Literally what's happening is that string is being beat, it's being hit, it's being stroked, it's being touched, it's being moved. You can't speak without the Ruach of God. You can't speak without breath. You can't speak without air. Because what actually is happening is when you speak, your vocal cords are being disrupted. Something's happening to your vocal cords. They're being moved. They like to relax. They just like to be at peace. They just like to chill. But you can't make a sound until something disrupts your vocal cords. Your faith can't do anything until something interrupts it. We think the Word of God comes to just make everything quiet and calm, but the Word of God comes to create a storm. When God spoke, the word spoke and the word air or interruption come together. God interrupted silence. God interrupted void. God interrupted emptiness, and in that, God began to demonstrate His invisible reality. Got me? Simple. You are being interrupted by the Word of the Lord. God says something to you to bait you, to be interrupted So you make a sound. Faith, just like a guitar, six strings, they all make different sounds. And based on where your finger positioning is, it makes yet another different sound. And they're all specifically tuned in a certain way. And there's a certain frequency, but then what is sound? Sound isn't sound like you think. Sound is interruption. Sound is movement. Sound is something being interrupted. In the day of Pentecost, the word says that the Spirit of God came and made a sound. It interrupted the room. And when the interruption took place, God began to fill them with a power they weren't aware of. They began to experience God in a new way. Do you know the scriptures literally say that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creation? Do you know what that means? It's like all creation was born for the first time. Creation took on a body. Creation took on a presence. For the very, very first time, God said, my invisible attributes are going to be made known in the fullness of my will. Christ was born by the will of God. It wasn't by man. It wasn't by the thoughts or the idea. No one asked. Mary didn't ask to be filled with the Spirit. Mary didn't ask to have a child. Mary said, I'm not ready. It's not my time. God said, I'm going to interrupt your time. This is that time today. Our world is in the greatest sense of panic and interruption. It's a great time. This is the greatest season of our lives. And James got that. He said, count it all joy. When hara, count it all hara. Count it all joy. When your faith is becoming visible. When your faith is being called. And I didn't say when your faith is called on, you're going to see everything that you want. But it says, get excited. When hara, get rejoice. The word, Greek word literally means delight. When interruption comes into your life because a sound is coming out of your faith that pleases God. The word calls you instruments. I love that you sang that song today. Instruments of righteousness. We're called instruments several different times. When God had them prepare for the temple, he called things instruments because everything had a peculiar sound. If you take a hammer and you drive it into a nail, it's a sound. The sound happens because something was interrupted. Something moved. God is interrupting your lives with faith. And it is through that interruption that the new thing happens. When God gives an inheritance to us, when God gave the children of Israel the land of promise as an inheritance, he interrupted their lives before he brought them in because there is a qualification, which means you have to go through some things that only faith says this is going to happen. Believers can listen to the word for a long time, and after a while, they become hard-hearted, and they don't really even believe what they hear. It's just kind of a ritual. It's just kind of what we do. It's our culture. It's who we are. And God doesn't allow that. So God comes in, and he interrupts your faith. God said, I'm giving you the land of Canaan as a promise. So in order for you to receive it as an inheritance from me, God said, you have to receive it through the instrument of your faith. And if you receive it as the instrument of your faith, then I'll give it to you. So what would that have been? What is the instrument? Well, Caleb knew what it was. Because Caleb went in and said, yep, they're big, they're strong, they're surrounding. There's no way to get in or out without these guys seeing. And if we try to overtake them, they're not just inside, they're all around. They will overcome us. But he went up and he said, we are more than able. See, you have to walk into a time where God's really going to do something, or you're going to die doing the same thing you've done all your lives, and your inheritance will be something that was given to you that you didn't qualify for, so it'll never produce what God really wants it to do. And you'll be disappointed all your life. But you have to get excited about what you can't see, but what God said. And Caleb said this, when the other 10 spies, 12 went up, when the other 10 spies said, no way, not a chance, and you have to be insane to go in there and think that you're going to overcome it. Number one, how do we even get through the wall? What do we do about the wall? Let alone the chariots that are riding on top of the wall. They can see us coming from miles around. And have you seen the size of those people? God is calling you to do something. He has called you to do something you just can't do. You can't see your way clear, and no one's going to help you do it. God is doing something that he's going to do. He's going to first give you a word that you can't really believe. But you get excited about it because it just sounds really, really good. Yeah. It just sounds good. And you're like, yeah. Just like you did to Joseph. The word says God proved Joseph through the word. He said, I'm going to give you a word, and you're going to see anything that looks like it, not anything close. As a matter of fact, what you're going to see is going to be opposing, in the invisible sense, to everything that I've said invisible. It's going to oppose it. And I want to test your character. I want to test and see. Matt, you sent me something yesterday. It was pretty on the money. What if God used the devil to get you into position? What if Satan isn't free from the will of God? What if he's bound by it? A couple examples. Read Job. Was that the devil or was it God? It's a little conflicting unless you just say, God is all power at all time. Yeah. What about Judas? Judas betrays Jesus. Who was in charge of that? Judas? Huh. Jesus said, let me tell you what's going to happen. The minute I give you bread, the one I give bread to, at that point in time, the devil is commanded to enter into him. And he will betray me and fulfill the word of God. Okay? What about that? God is all authority and all power at all times. What about, and Jesus was led out by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. You want more? There's a whole lot more. See, God is all authority and all power. And the church is upside down thinking that there is a force that can manipulate God or manipulate his people, and he can't. The only thing that manipulates you is ignorance to the presence and the power and the will and the word of God. See, God has created you today to bring about a new age. The kingdom of God is coming through you. The revelation of Jesus Christ, he hasn't any other body. Do you understand that? Our God is an invisible God. The only way he makes himself known is through his word in you. He is called the firstborn of all creation, the invisible God made visible. But not just because we can see God because he became flesh, but they still had to believe the word of God. God, think about God saying, I want a body. I want a body so I can become visible, but it can't happen just because it's made out of dirt. It has to be an expression of who I am, faith. So I'm going to create a creation that will bear my image and bear my likeness and bear my wonder and bear my glory and bear my position. And it can never be because they've done it right. It just can't be that. It has to be because they are reliant on the word of God, because they hear and they just become whatever that word is without the necessity of visibility. They just believe the word of God. Caleb said, we are more than able today. We don't have to wait. Their position is not important. How powerful they are, how much they have, how little we are. Because they all said, we're like grasshoppers in our sight to them, and they look at us in the same way. There's no way. They will laugh at us. They'll laugh us to scorn. They will destroy us. But Caleb said, oh, not so. He said, I believe, this is his words, I believe the word of the prophet. I believe the word of the Lord. And we are more than able to go up today. God said that to you. Today, today, you are more than able to go up and begin to. The new thing isn't coming out of heaven. The new thing is coming out of the kingdom. There's no place where it ever says that. The new thing is coming out of the kingdom of heaven. Not the sky, not the clouds. God isn't dropping anything down. Remember, earth is the gift to heaven. Earth is God's gift to heaven. That's why he said heaven and earth have to come together. There has to be a uniting. We have to see Christ in the fullness of who he is, and you have to know where he is. He isn't in the distance. He said, I'm with you always. He said, I couldn't leave or forsake you. I am bound together with the covenant of my visibility and my word. I have made myself known to you. We heard his word. We have seen him. We bear witness. The witness of an individual that declares the word of God is a binding contract in the earth. The Lord will bring it to pass. It has to come to pass. It cannot not come to pass. But it can't come to pass in the usual ways. It can't follow that same railroad track. It has to come from a new source. That source is you. Undeniably, absolutely, emphatically, through you. And it can't come through compromise. So God has to say things to you that take all compromise out of the way. God said, where is it? It's in you. See, all the things that we see, when the Word says He created them out of the invisible, we think that they didn't exist. That's not what it's saying at all. It's saying everything, all of creation existed within God Himself. All things of Him, through Him, not just from Him, of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory and honor and praise, which means we do exactly what we're doing today. All things came from you. All praise and glory and honor belongs to you. But they couldn't be experienced by heaven, angels, seraphims, cherubims, or any other creation until God, by His own volition, by His own will, by His own authority, made them visible. So God said, let us create mankind in our image and in our likeness. And so God created man. Man is good. Man is quiet. Man is silent. Man is blessed. Man is happy. Or sometimes, as Anton says, man's. It just depends what side of the world you come from. All's good. God creates you. All's good. Quiet. We like it. All's good. Feels good. Feels lazy. Feels boring. Feels dead. So God creates man. He breathes life, ruach, into Adam. Adam becomes a living soul because the breath of God carries the voice of God, because you cannot speak without air. God spoke, God breathed, and Adam became alive. It's all still chill and good. There's no problem. Just like you. God's blessed us. Today everything's quiet, everything's good, things are going the way we want them to, there's no real challenges, everything's just, this is the greatest season of my life. I can say that today. Now I know what Pastor was saying. Thought he was crazy, but this is the greatest season of my life. Isn't this awesome? Everything's just going my way. And that was Adam, until God said. And the minute you hear God say to you something incredible takes place. You become responsible. Now you're not just quiet. Now you're a creation. Not just by the Word of God, but through the Word of God. You ever wonder why it seems to take a while when you just believe and it just seems like things just don't happen? Because the Scripture says faith has to take on your position. You have to embody faith, but faith has to embody you. You have to look like faith. So the Word says, after you've suffered for a while. Now that word suffer isn't like you mean. That word suffer is literally bringing you into association, freeing you from everything that could possibly ever hold you back and cause you to doubt God. God's delivering you from anything that could cause you to doubt God, because in reality, we end up with more hope in the things that God's going to do rather than who God in us is. And that's the truth. I don't care if you're a preacher, apostle, evangelist, prophet, evangelist, teacher, missionary. It doesn't matter who you are. We get caught up in seeing God do things that we ask Him for instead of asking God what things He wants to do. And the reality is, God is creating in this time things you hadn't imagined. And He's doing it through interrupting your faith, just like a guitar string cannot. Same on a piano. That piano, that keyboard isn't going to play itself. A real piano has strings all through it. You may not see them, but there's strings all in there. And until something disrupts that string, there is no sound. The string does not make a sound. The disruption does. Disruption makes music. Disruption creates a sound. The Word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Connect it to James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when disruption comes into your life. Why? Because if you knew what was happening, you know your faith is making a sound that is pleasing to the Lord. Your faith is made. You don't have to be able to interpret. God knows what you're saying. And the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God, and He reveals those things to you. Didn't say to angels, seraphims, cherubims, says to you. Inscrutable things, meaning secret, unknown things. This mystery, the word says, what mystery? What is the mystery of God? Christ. But it's still a mystery, even though it's Christ, until it's Christ in you. And when it's Christ in you, the mystery begins to take on shape and form, and then we can praise God because we see the invisible attributes of God made manifest. So God literally says, I've given you my word, you are without excuse. You will never have an excuse, no matter how great you think your excuse is. Every single one of us experiences disruption in our lives, and most of the time, it's just kind of right down there at the base of where you live. And we misinterpret that as the devil. Okay, if you want to go there, I've said this 1,000 times, then he works for God. He cannot interrupt your life without God saying, go. So it works for God. So if you want to blame the devil, you can't. You're still going to have to blame God. The Lord is responsible. He will lead me in the way that I should go. Well, that's evil. No, no evil shall befall you. No evil will come nigh your dwelling. 1,000 at your side will fall, 10,000 at your right hand, but only with your eyes will you behold and see the hand of the Lord, the reward of the wicked. Why? I have set my affections on you. You're the only one that I see. You're the only one that I will claim responsibility for my life. You are the God ever present. You are the God always with me. You are the Lord that makes things better than I could possibly imagine. You are the Lord with me here and now, so I rejoice. I rejoice in you, O God. I rejoice in you. I rejoice. I hara in you. I hara in the trying of these things, because that's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for my guitar to make a sound. I've been waiting for my string to make a sound. I've been waiting to see God. I've been waiting to experience the presence of the Lord. We can make a sound when we praise. We make a sound when we worship. But when God makes a sound through you, it creates. God has never stopped creating, and he never will. He is the creator. That's who he is. That's what he does. He is the revealer. He continues to reveal from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. For it is written, it is testified, it is justified, that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. They will walk in the power and the presence of faith. They will have ruah, which means joy. They will rejoice in the counting it all joy. They will rejoice, haris, haris, because of the grace, haris of God. They will rejoice because they have found the grace of God isn't there to say, you know what, I'm just going to forget all your mess. Okay, we just wipe that away. Let's just pretend. Let's all pretend. Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's all just pretend it didn't happen. Let's just pretend that they never messed up. Let's pretend that Trigg has always been just a great guy. You know, he's just never, I know he's been a mess, but, you know, let's just forget it. No, that's not grace. Grace is the gift that makes your approach to the throne of God anticipated by the Father himself. Grace is God saying, this has been my design all along. And my word is sure. And all, not all, all you have to do is believe me completely. And your life is upon my word. Man, our life is late. Yeah. Are you surprised? My life is on this word. Our future is on this word. What if? There's no what if. There's only yes, and in him, amen. See, that's what the trying of your faith does. It takes you as a past image of who you were, and it's just gone. Before God, there is no beginning but when you're born of God. There is no beginning. God can't know. See, in the holiness of God, you think about it differently, but in the holiness of God, he can't know anything other than you firstborn in Christ. That's why he's called the firstborn among many brethren. Do you understand what that means? It's the first. This is your real first time being born. So you don't have a past. Grace doesn't say, well, just forget. No, grace says, this is God's grace. This is God's intention. When he created, when he spoke, when he said, his word took on the shape, every vibration in creation, everything that would be necessary to bring you into position. And all you have to do is understand that faith in God doesn't mean things go your way. It means you go his way. It means it produces something in you that is an invisible attribute, the kingdom of God that he put on the inside of you. When the word says he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, it really literally means within the sphere of who you are. What you're comprised of is every single thing that can bring about the favor of God. Everything that can do exceeding abundant and above all you know to ask or think. I could have an idea of what I'd like God to do in and through me, but God has an idea. So God told me, do this and only do that and only think about what you do, and I'll take care of everything else. God said that to Moses. He said, just do what I'm telling you to do. Just believe my word. And what did he say? Believe that I am with you doing great and mighty things. If God were to do what we asked him, we'd fall so short of what he really has called you to do. Because what you would have God do is something you've either seen someone do or haven't seen them do. You wouldn't do something that hasn't ever been conceived. And that's what God said. I will do exceeding abundant and above. Now, I'll tell you what that takes. To be able to go there in your head, it takes really worshiping God for who he is. God, could you possibly do something that exceeds my ability to think about it? Could you really do something that exceeds my imagination to try and get out? Stop trying to get out of where you are until you get out of where you are, what God wants you to get. Because you'll find yourself right back where you were again. God's way is perfect. He said, I will lead you in the way that you should go. I am introducing heaven to a new generation. That's you, Matt. God's introducing heaven to a new generation that you don't see. And you're not supposed to see it. It's supposed to happen just like when the Holy Spirit came in and it filled the temple. Couldn't imagine what's going on. We have no past experience with this, but something's going on. And then Jesus says something incredibly, incredibly profound. He said, you've never asked the Father anything in my name before. I was like, great, we get to ask in the name of Jesus. No, it's so much more than that. It's so beyond that. People ask God for a lot of things in the Old Testament. They prayed, they asked him, they heard from him. But there wasn't a living soul on the planet that could ever come before God where God was anticipating their approach. When God anticipates your approach, it's no longer you that lives. This is Christ. The word says when Christ was ascended, he gave him a name above every name. God was anticipating the approach of Christ back into heaven and reassigned and readdressed everything in creation in perfect harmony with the will of the Father. The fall, the fall of man, the fall of heaven, the fall of angel, everything was reunited. And the word says God brought heaven and earth together. That's where we stand today. But only by the revelation of the mystery of who Christ in you is, will we see this new generation come together. So let's break it down real simple and real plain. God has you right where he wants you. And he wants you to know that. And he wants you to be joyful about it. He wants you to get excited about it. He wants you to know, I am excited that I am not in control. I am empowered. God is Lord over all. I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited because God is doing what he said he wanted to do with me. He's doing a new thing. And the moment God gives you the word, you're no longer chill. You're a string that's being strummed. Your faith is making a sound. There are two sides to granite, but three dimensions. Top and bottom, or bottom and top, or side to side, or front to back. Turn it however you want it. Going in, coming out. But the unseen dimension, the invisible, is the in-between. God has had you in the in-between to do in you what he wanted to do before he brought you out. And in God bringing you through the granite, just like a chisel, being driven through the chiefest of stone, God is creating a format before you by disrupting everything around you so everyone can see it is by the hand of God that you remain and that you increase. So your inheritance is not from your dad. Your inheritance is from your father. And the blessing of his covenant he will keep. And there is no memory of that inheritance that is wrong or lacking in any way, shape, or form, because your true inheritance has nothing to do with where you came from. And the only way God could reveal that to you is to bring you into a time where the Lord would require that you give everything away as though you were trying to get rid of it, as though you were abandoning, as though you were sowing it in the earth in a hidden place. So the mystery of God's kingdom that will remain forever and ever when an echo with honor and favor could resound in the earth like a string being strummed by the Father, making a sound that changes everything. Because when sound begins to move, it bumps into everything and it creates different frequencies. Sound isn't what we hear. Sound is what we feel. You can't hear sound. You can only feel sound. Until these days, you heard it, but now you will feel it. And there will never be a deaf day in your life. Our language has been subjective to ideas, personalities, religions, misinterpretations, because it is the Spirit, the intent of the Spirit, it means everything. Someone can sing an identical song. What moves you isn't the sound. What moves you is the feel. It's when you feel that. Oh, that song just moved me. You don't feel the sound. You feel the sound. You don't hear the sound. You move by the sound. When out of a pure spirit, what does that mean? My faith is in God. No matter what it is, I have to acknowledge him as the Father will acknowledge me. Now, if you can't acknowledge Christ the way you want God to acknowledge you, you're kind of in a tough spot. So you have to acknowledge Christ as in his fullness. Christ will never be more present, never be more full than he is. Let's just make it real simple and just actually what matters and only what matters. Lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. Philip, how long do I have to be with you before you see me? You're looking for me coming in a way that I was never intended to come. You're looking for something that doesn't exist only in your imagination, but in the kingdom, I'm with you. I don't feel as much as heaven is as much of a gift in certain senses as earth is a gift to heaven, because Christ came here to make himself known. The word says the angels didn't know him in his fullness, the seraphims, the cherubim. No creation, the word says, knew him until he came here as he is. And he embodied the Father and the fullness of God dwelt in him, and we beheld and saw him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and glory. God in me. God
with me. God through me. He's for you when he's through you. So it's all about the approach. Same on any instrument. It's all about the approach. It's all about the spirit of the thing. Two people singing the same song. One, you just feel like, oh, it was good, but I don't know, there was something. It's the spirit. The spirit in that person conveys a new sound. It's a new sound. I've been prophesying new sound for a long time. Jonathan and I talked one day briefly, and he said, I know it and I believe it. He said, there's only so many sounds that we can make with a stringed instrument. But it's not, that's not the sound. The sound is what's coming from the spirit conveyed through the instrument. And God says, what's coming from me conveyed through you is going to change the geography of the world. People aren't going to agree with you because they like what you say. They're going to agree with you because they can't resist your sound. The sound of faith. What does faith sound like? It sounds like a feel. But not a feel of chemistry. It's something that goes beyond chemistry. God told Adam and Eve, he said, overcome the chemistry. Overcome the will by the word. They're created, they're perfect. Not obligated to obey God. God just made them and they're good. They're acceptable to God just the way they are. God said, I want more. And I know the liability of making them responsible. I'm going to give them my word. But it's okay. Because grace, you understand grace? Grace is going to keep them right in line with my will. Grace is going to make sure. Before the foundation of the world, Christ was prepared. God's plan is perfect. His way is amazing. He will keep you. All the increase, all the blessing, all that you want of all the nations will not make you who you are. It doesn't mean you're anything. Except maybe a title. Or a position. But the grace of God, that's something different. We talk about grace, but we talk about it in a very, very weak, uncertain way. But the grace of God brings hurrah. The grace of God, haris of God, that's something different. That's God saying, I anticipate your approach. I anticipate your faith. I anticipate you coming to me when you feel like it's just kind of over. It's just, oh God, what do I do? And God says, now, what I want you to do is I want you to see my grace. I want you to see me. I want you to know that there isn't anything around you that can take away the grace from you. That's me. See that for real. You might be dealing with something physically. You might be dealing something with emotionally in your family, your marriage. I get it. I get it. Really do. Get it. I get it. I'm not exempt. I get it. I get it. But I got it. I got it. It's not about those things. Matter of fact, those things sometimes have to be disrupted because there's a part of you that is fearful or doubtful or uncertain. And God can't fill that spot. You need a void. In the genesis of time, God created in the void. He never created in the fullness because that's who he is. To create is to impart something from himself into a place we call space or time. And it creates an event which we call a sound, a wave. And we don't hear it with our ears. We feel it with our spirit. And close with this. And the spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are the sons of God. And this, my friends, this is the greatest season of your lives. Stand with me. That was pretty weak. If you're going to clap, let's clap. And time sounds different in the spirit. Time sounds like a confidence. We are called to see the future because we have to be creative. We have to create. God's creating through your faith. And the word says you have to walk in the faith for a while. Why? You have to be embodied by what faith is. And you, like Caleb. Caleb, listen, he saw the same thing everyone else said. Or saw. He saw it. Abraham saw everything. Why did it take so long for God to get through it? Bring Isaac from Abraham. Because Abraham had to live in the faith until he came to the point where it was just... I mean, at first, God, it's like, yeah, we can do this. We can make this happen. I'm a young man still. You know, I can believe that. The inheritance of the kingdom of God can't be preached. It can't be taught. It can't be shown. Sorry. It just can't be. It has to be lived. It has to be who you are. It's the only way you'll ever see it. It'll never come any other way. Christ in you. The mystery of Christ is Christ revealed in you. What a love of God. What is man that you are mindful of him? The sons of man, that you visit them, you crown them, but they're a little lower than the angels, and yet you crown them with glory. What is your interest in this creation? That's what heaven was wondering. And then God said, watch. Watch the Word become man. And then watch man become the Word. And you'll understand. This is that time. This is the greatest season of your life. And Father, we praise and we worship you. God is in this place. He's ever present, ever God, ever with us, ever now, all the time, every second, every minute, every moment. So what does this all mean? It's going to turn out great. It's going to turn out great. It's going to turn out great. It's going to turn out better than you would imagine. It's going to turn out exceeding abundant, above, beyond all you know to ask or think, according to the power of God that is emanating from you. This is the hour of the Lord and of his Christ. This is the season of our God. I will say of the Lord, he is my strength. I will say of the Lord, he is my God. I will say of the Lord, he is with me. Yeah, I see it. I hear it. I know it. You're walking on the sea, the waters, saying, God, look and see what you have done. The moment I turn around is like I never turned around, because it's all around me and it looks incredible, even though I'm walking in the midst of the sea. And we say of the Lord, when will the storm stop? And God says, why are you afraid of the storm, O you of little faith? Don't you know that God walks in the midst of the sea? He's God in the furnace of fire. If God's going to make a witness of you, where would he put you? Someplace that no one else would dare to try. And when he brings you out, there's no remnant of hurt or harm, but you bear witness of God's favor. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The man in the fire is the man beside you, the man that dwells in you. How did he end up in there? He came out of their faith. God is ever present, ever power, ever wonderful, ever with us. And Lord, for it we praise you and we thank you. Great is God in the midst of his people. Great is the Lord ever present. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this season. Thank you for this hour. My God. Hey, John, would you come here for just a minute? Father, I thank you for who you are, Christ in us, what you do, what you say, how you reveal, what you reveal. Giving you a new name. The Rock. Remain. Days are not closing, they're awakening. Revelation is shaking. Something anticipating. In the quietness of God, what will you do? God says, what will you believe? Let's say it together. You are the God of my family, the Lord of my peace, God of the health of my body, renewing me inside and out. Your words of faith sound in me. In the lower parts of the earth, God is there. In the lower regions of your body, the Lord is your healer. In the midst of the sea, in the center, God is there. In the center, the Lord is your strength. In the upper region, the breastplate of righteousness, the Lord is the strength of your heart. God, we give you praise. Your faith is strong and will run long and take you places in the spirit that are more real than where you've been in the flesh, and you'll manifest them in your body. God is glorified in and through you. In Jesus' name, God, we give you praise. According to the word of the Lord, God is present. God is power. God is truth. God is life. God is joy. God is peace. Stay right here. We worship you, O God. Under the auspices of your authority. Rejoice in you, in your spirit, in your presence, and in your power. We seek you. We call on you. We trust you. We bless your mighty and holy name. God of heaven and earth, Jesus. Jesus. Matt, Lori, and Kaylin, can you come? Well, as a matter of fact, would you come up here with me? I'm going to take it on myself. Step just a little more this way, if you would, please. Take it on myself. By the word of the Lord, by my anointing, as a covenant covering of God's word over you. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your covenant. And for your covenant. God has placed on the shoulders of these people a covenant of promise. Prophecies, it would take you a minute to count. From those before, those that were, those that are. And we pray, body, pray with me. PFC, pray with me. Father, you're covering. The word of the Lord is, I have covered you.
Thank you, Lord.
I have shielded you.
Thank you, Lord.
From things you have not known, and some that you have. But I am the Lord that has brought you into a time of great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. That the much I require of you is your confidence in me, with you. That I will do what I never asked you to do. But I've asked you to believe that I will do it. So Father, as a covering, as a covenant of heaven, Lord, you clothe, you cover. And Father, as positioned and sent by you, I stand in that position. And Father, by prayer, by prophecy, by faith, by word, declare your covering, your covenant. It would be okay to even say, if we can just stand strong here, we're okay. But God says, that's not the day. The sea is calling your name, and you will tread its waters in faith and confidence. And there's be a lot of people who say, I'm not sure how you got from here to there. I wouldn't have walked that journey with you. As a matter of fact, I bailed out. And you will say, God has said, he has brought us here. So the credit and the praise goes to the Lord. But this I testify to, that we did believe. I hope that you will not doubt in the future days, but you will believe with us. You stand there, and we sail here. But we will still be a testimony to you by faith. Kalen, to you is strength and vision. God has put truth in you that no one knows, a covenant of promise that will remain. That it would feel like generations, a man of strength and wisdom, a man of insight that is made silent. But God says, it will speak, says the Lord. It will be as though you came from the deck, from the hull of a ship. God called you out. Put trims on your shoulders, a wheel in your hand, and calls you captain, captain of faith, captain of the future. I call that out because I see it. Live and breathe. Make a sound. Your faith will make a sound. In Jesus' name, God, we give you praise. I love you. God loves you. You're covered. You're covered. Holy is the Lamb, ever present, ever coming. He's coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Look up and see him come. See his presence. See his appearance. He's coming. He came. He's coming. He's coming. He's present. He's Lord. Make a sound to the Lord, he said. Make a sound to me, God said. Make a joyful noise to me. And each instrument has its own distinct sound. And if not, how will you know what the instrument is? Your faith has a sound. And the world is feeling the sound of your faith today. God's covenant of promise is to you. The Lord promises he will not let anything slip. The Lord conveys his word of truth and security to you, Donna, Lord. He is God with you. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. I hear a sound from heaven. What do you say? I hear a sound from heaven. Righteousness will come out of the north, says the Spirit of wonder.
I will bring the unity of nations together, comprised of the faith of my people and the body, the instruments of my purpose. Calling to vessels of honor today. Is there any other day but today? This is the day. Father, in Jesus' name, throughout your nations, Lord, your people, let your expression be sound and true as you are, O God. So the very word of your mouth is no different than it is in ours, because you, God, by your Spirit, your will, your grace, and your power, you have put it within us. The word of the Lord is nigh me, even in my mouth. I will open my mouth and declare a thing, and the Lord shall bring it to pass. This is not an unwieldy season. This is a timely season, fitted for purpose. And the Lord is doing wonders in this time. God is bringing to pass those things that you felt but couldn't describe, that sense of wonder and awareness that even brought praise from you that couldn't be intelligibly uttered, but the Spirit of God gave it to you through worship. And in your worship, God is manifesting it today. This is not a future event, but it holds all of the times of future events. It is the Spirit of wonder working in you and through you, being revealed through you in the way God has called you to be. Walking in the truth, the soundness of faith. And what brings my faith? God has strummed the string. He has moved things. There has been disruption. But it's the stroke of the Father's hand, playing a sound that is pleasing to his name. And when God brings a pleasing sound through you, you see the favor of God overwhelm everything around you and bring out of you things you never knew. For God is doing a new thing. Will he not declare it before it comes to pass? Today the Lord has declared it. God is doing a new thing. And God is doing a new thing here. Give the Lord a shout of praise.